You also been shot before, right?
Yeah.
How did something like that happen? And did that cause you to want to make a change? Or did that make you more immersed in the street life when you got shot?
I'm at a stoplight. My partner on the passenger side, he was beefing with a guy in the car beside us at the stoplight. The guy pulled out a gun, cocked it, hung it out the window. My homeboy reached out to try to snatch the gun from dude. I don't know why. But the dude started shooting.
Dang.
The dude in the backseat started shooting. The dude in the passenger side jumped out and ran around. He started shooting. Three people shooting down in my car. The police counted 37 bullet holes in my car. I was shot three times. I was shot in my forearm, my shoulder, and in my back. My homeboy that reached out for the gun was shot in his neck, his chest, his hand, his leg, and in his back. For me, it put me back in the streets. It put me harder in the streets. Everything inside of me wanted revenge at that time.
Yeah.
I was like I said, at that time, I was thugging.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy. Never been a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
Never joined a gang. Never been jumped by a gang or none of that.
Yeah.
I was a thug more than I was a gangster. And I wanted retribution real bad. I had an evil side to me after I got shot.
Wow.
I really, like, demonish.
Right.
Demonish. Like, I after that, yeah, I turned up. The Highest Point Podcast. More than
a pod, it's a lifestyle. You come from the streets. You've been in the streets environment. So you have experienced wars in the streets.
Yeah.
Some wars you lose, some wars you win. Now, tell me, after you won any one of those wars, was that feeling anywhere near to how you felt fulfilled when you gave back to those communities and helped make a difference in people's lives?
Nah. Me doing for the community, man, it feels way more better than me getting back at this dude right here who shot me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It feels way more better than me getting back at this person who stole from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels way more better than me getting back at this girl who cheated on me. So now I'm gonna fuck her sister, or I'm gonna fuck her cousin.
Mm-hmm.
That get back has no measurement. It doesn't weigh on a scale when it comes to the community.
Yeah.
Because everything I'm doing in the community, bro, I don't ask for handouts.
Right.
If I ask anything for the community, it's me asking them, hey, y'all want to help out?
Right.
Y'all want to be involved?
Yep.
You want to sow a seed by sending something?
Right.
Anytime I do an event, it's always a community event. It's not a P-Wall or it's not an OG event.
Yeah.
I take my face off of it.
Right, right.
Because
it's bigger than that.
It's more than just me.
Yeah.
When I invite the community in to help out, they're sending in book bags. They're sending in papers, pencils,
right.
Christmas time. They're sending in gifts.
Right.
Or they might cash app because they know I have a warehouse where I can go buy gifts from.
Mm-hmm.
I can go buy toys for kids.
Right.
So they'll send in cash apps. I can't make it over there with the gifts. I'm over here in Florida, but I'm going to send you some money.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What's so crazy? I got my first business started off of $40.
Mm.
I bought my first van, my first business. I'm going to say I bought my first business. I started my business with $40.
You sell a van for $40?
$40.
That's
they
crazy.
They wanted $360 for the van.
Mm.
I go down in the country, and I turn on this dirt road. It's 12 houses on this road.
Mm-hmm.
Every single house had a Confederate flag.
Wow.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth house had a Confederate flag, an American flag, and a KKK flag.
Mm.
The third house is where the van was at.
Mm-hmm.
I get down there. Like I said, he only wanted $360 for the van just to get it off of the property.
Yeah.
I get down there. It's a black guy coming to get this van.
Mm.
The old man is sitting on the porch.
Yeah.
Where the KKK flag at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's his van.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting on the porch, and he sent the young boy from next door outside to sell me the van. Okay, it needed a gas tank, it needed lights,
mm-hmm.
and it needed a battery. So I went and bought all of that stuff, went back,
mm-hmm.
put it all on the van right there.
Right, right.
And he was like, how much you got left? I said, I got $60.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, all right, take 20. Wait, this is what he told the young boy to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to address me.
Right, right.
He said, take 20, put it in your gas tank, give me $40.
Dang.
And I put 20 in the gas tank and drove that van all the way home.
Wow.
When I got home, I rode around for about a week in that van, and one of my cousins was like, hey, and I was telling everybody what I'm finna start doing, but I had no equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my cousins was like, hey, I heard about what you're doing, bro. I'ma help you. Go over to this person's house. He got a brand new generator. I mean, a brand new pressure washer for you.
Right.
Gave it to me. Crazy. The guy that went to take me to get the van, he was like, hey, my uncle, my dad wants us to go to Reedsville to wash his van.
Right.
We pull up out there, wash that. He gave me a generator.
Right.
gave it to me. We leave there to go to his uncle's house to have a drink. And he's telling his uncle, what you gonna do with this trailer out here?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, shooting that, man. He was like, well, we finna start a car wash business. Can we get it? Uncle was like, back it up. I'm gonna hook it up and y'all can have it. Gave it to me.
It's amazing.
Bro, it's crazy. So now I got everything I need except a water tank.
Right.
So now we riding through all the factories looking for a water tank to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan was to steal a water tank. My homeboy, he's drunk to the point where he can barely stand.
Yeah.
And everything comes out slurred. We pulled up at this one factory, and there was a water tank out in the field, and we was going to steal that water tank, but a supervisor came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, I was like, well, can we get this water tank? He was like, well, you're going to have to go up in the front office and ask them. Before I even had a chance to say anything back, my drunk homeboy had done took off to the office.
Oh.
So next thing you know, you see a short dude come out. He was like, hey, back up. Back up her to the dock.
Get this.
He gave me a brand new water tank. Didn't know me.
Wow.
Like, and that comes from sowing good, sowing positivity,
yes,
giving back, doing the right things by people, you know, not offending nobody, helping the next person, not being willing to help without and hiding your face, without patting yourself on the back for doing it, not going live saying, oh, I'm feeding the homeless,
right?
You know, not those kind of seeds sowing,
you
know what I mean? And everything kind of was given to me on my first go round.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, then the same block where I took those four poster boards,
mm-hmm,
I sat in front of a shop when I did it, but the shop was empty. That same block, the guy who had those shops reached out to me. He said, hey, man, you still looking for a place?
Because
I was looking for a place for my studio. He was like, I got a place. You got $600? If you got $600, I'll give you a key to one of these places. I had $600.
Yeah.
I went and got $600.
Right, right.
And I came right back with $600 and got a key.
Mm.
And I ended up having a building now. I got a tangible place where I can wash my cars and do all of these things. And in the midst of that, it was a short Latino guy. He came to my shop for 2 months straight looking for me. Looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
By name, looking for me.
Right.
By the name of OG.
Right, right.
Not by the name of Patrick. He came looking for OG.
Yeah.
I kept closing my door on him. Oh, you the police. I don't talk to you. I know who you is.
Yeah.
You the police. And then one day he caught me outside washing cars and I had nowhere to run to.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't run in my building. So I had no choice but to listen to him. He was like, hey, man, the lady right here on that corner, she say you used to wash cars in front of her house. It was a white lady.
Mm-hmm.
She say you used to wash cars in front of her house and everybody calls you OG. I'm looking for an OG. I was like, why are you looking for an OG, man?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, she told me you're the OG. You're the person I need to go see if I need to do anything in the community.
Mm.
I was like, what you trying to do? He said, I'm a pastor. I want to help out. My mission is 5 points. 5 points is my neighborhood.
Right.
That's my hood. So I was like, okay, so what do you want to do? He's like, well, I heard you're doing a back-to-school program. I want to help you.
Mm.
Whatever you need, I got you. Bouncy houses, food,
oof,
all of this. Where you come from, man?
Right.
God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All that work you already sold, man.
God will send you help.
Yeah.
If you're doing it the right way, you will get help sent to you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, for real, for real. And I tell everybody, like, I ain't afraid to talk about God and what he did.
Yeah.
Like, I used to thug it. I used to thug it, thug mm-hmm. it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But at the same time, I'm older now.
Right.
Fuck all that thugging shit, man.
Yeah.
I want some money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to do the right things by people.
Yeah.
Like, I've done wrong by people so long. So now it's like, while I'm doing these good things are falling in line for me.
Yeah.
I still might go week to week or day by day and be like, man, how am I going to pull up this money to get these bills paid?
Because
I'm working for myself.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's hard when you're working for yourself. But I sit there and before the end of the week, I'll be done snapped out and be like, man, God already said he got me. So
right.
What am I stressing?
Right.
I'm worried. And the minute I do that, something will come through for me.
Yeah.
And all them little worries that I had be gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So fat, man. That's so much facts right there, man. Again, it's going back to that, taking those first steps. So many other doors going to open for you if you just have step out there on faith. And then when people say karma, it's not just bad karma.
Yeah.
There is good karma.
It's good karma.
Like when you do good things come unto you. So, you know what I'm saying? Just stay consistent doing those things. Like, it's not going to just be, okay, I did something good today. I'm expecting something tomorrow.
Right.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not how it works.
You just do good from the bottom of your heart. And you just do your thing, man. And then the blessings will come, man. Yep. So that's just so real. And all those testimonies show and prove that.
And that applies to any religion, not just, you know what I'm saying? Not just the Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not just this Buddha, this the Quran.
Right. Just God.
God. It's one God.
Right.
You know what I mean? We all praying to the same person.
That's how I look at it.
You just got your name for it. They got their name for it. It's still one almighty person.
That's how I always looked at it. But I'm like, yo, how do you expect? We got all these different languages in this world, and you expect the God to just have this same name.
Right.
But every other word in their language is different.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That don't make sense.
Yeah.
I always felt, it's just everyone praising one God. Yeah. That's it.
That's what
you fighting for? Like, you be seeing different denominations beefing on who right and who wrong. Like, everyone praising the same God. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. And
it's true. That's true, though. Straight up.
Okay. So, you also been shot before, right?
Yeah.
So, I had a question about that. So, how did something like that happen, and did that cause you to want to make a change, or did that make you more immersed in the street life when you got shot?
Okay. May the 20th, 2001 at 5:30 in the morning. I was at a stoplight. Well, it didn't start there, but I'll pick up to where the action actually happened at.
Yeah.
All the other stuff before that was I was unaware of what was going on at the time. So I'm going to start from there. I'm at a stoplight. Me and my two homies in the car with us. Gang of drugs on us. No guns.
Mm-hmm.
Our intentions was to go out and hustle and then go get some food and then go home. But we ended up at a night spot and leave there. And now we're at a stoplight. And my partner on the passenger side, he was beefing with a guy in the car beside us at the stoplight. The guy pulled out a gun, cocked it, hung it out the window. My homeboy reached out to try to snatch the gun from dude. I don't know why. But he's alive. But when he reached out, the dude started shooting.
Dang.
The dude in the backseat started shooting. Dude in the passenger side jumped out and ran around. He started shooting. Three people shooting down in my car. The police counted 37 bullet holes in my car. I was shot three times. I was shot in my forearm, my shoulder, and in my back. My homeboy that reached out for the gun was shot in his neck, his chest, his hand, his leg, and in his back. My other partner in the back seat didn't get touched. He laid across the floor. I had a hoopty. I could have pulled away, but he's halfway out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I can pull off, because if I pull off, he's on the ground.
Right.
They can kill him right now.
Yeah, yeah.
If I pull off.
It's execution style.
Right. So, no, I'm going to sit here with you until I can get you in this car so I can pull off.
Right.
But the whole time, they were shooting during a red light. So crazy. When the light turned green, guess what they did?
Took off.
And when they pulled off, we jumped out of the car. We know we shot, but we don't feel none of that.
Adrenaline.
So we jump out. Y'all motherfuckers ain't do shit. We popping big at them.
Mm-hmm.
They made a U-turn. Came over to me and came right back down. Shooting. I got shot in the back. He got shot in the, I got shot in the back.
What?
I got shot in the back trying to get my pound of weed out of my car to throw it in the ditch. He got shot in the back trying to get his shit out of the car to, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all we was doing, trying to empty out of the car.
Yeah.
Our girls was in the car back behind us.
Yeah.
And then my other homeboy, he was in the car behind us too.
Right.
So they're witnessing us get shot down on.
Right,
the
right.
The way we got shot down on. That day, man, for me, it put me back in the streets. It put me harder in the streets. At that age.
What was the age?
I was 20. The dudes who shot me, I think they were 16 and 15.
What?
Yeah, I was 20. And everything inside of me wanted revenge at that time.
Yeah.
I was like I said, at that time, I was thugging.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy. Never been a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
Never joined a gang. Never been jumped by a gang or none of that.
Yeah.
It was me. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I grew up listening to Tupac and a lot of others. You know what I'm saying? So I was a thug more than I was a gangster.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? And I wanted retribution real bad.
Yeah.
And from there, I didn't trust nobody. I didn't want to hang around a group of people no more. I didn't want to hang around cliques no more.
Yeah.
I would only hang around my family. A lot of days I would just go sit at my cousin's house and just sit there.
Right.
Sit there and plot in my mind how I'm going to get back at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really made me, I had an evil side to me after I got shot.
Wow.
I really, like, demonish.
Right.
Demonish. Like, I after that, yeah, I turned up.
Yeah. And people don't get that. They think, okay, when you have something so traumatizing happen, like, okay, this is going to scare you straight.
Nah.
But it can be the complete opposite.
It can be the complete opposite.
Immerse you deeper in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it did to you.
Yeah.
And it's still some way, you got deeper, but still some way you crawled up out of that, you know what I'm saying, later. Different life experiences, things that we talked about already. And that's so crazy. And when y'all jumped out that car, you know what that made me think about, like, people doing these days? I don't know if you've seen on social media, someone gets shot, then they do this thing, telling someone, I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you baiting someone to come back and
to
try to finish
and
you.
Finish the job, yeah.
That's not smart.
And that's what I was on then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, and
I was
they
on
still
that.
Doing stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I was on that back then. Like, and now that I look at it now, like, damn, you shouldn't have did that, you know, because they wouldn't have never spent the block.
No.
And came back down because that light had turned green. They was gone.
Yeah.
They was gone, but they was in their mirror. They was in their rear view, like, oh, we didn't finish.
Yeah.
They ain't dead. That's been the block.
Right.
And that made them jump over that median and come right back down the road.
Yeah.
Rush.
Yeah. Yeah. And it won't just cause y'all won't dead, it's cause y'all ain't learned your lesson. You
we
still jumping
out. We still jumping out, we popping off.
Yeah.
My whole bleeding everywhere.
And you don't got no weapons.
None. All we got is drugs.
Dang.
All we got is drugs, and we had a lot of drugs on All we had was drugs, bro.
Man.
Straight up. We was out hustling that whole night. Drugs and money, that was all we had on us.
Yeah.
We wasn't even supposed to be going to no 2 to 6. We went to a 2 to, like, for real, we were supposed to be going to Waffle House, get some food.
Yeah.
Go back home, but then my homeboy was like, let's go to this 2 to 6. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Can we drink? He was like, nope, but you can smoke all you want. I said, let's go.
Right. Right.
And if I wouldn't have never, I'm driving, and I'm the oldest one in the car.
Right.
So I could have easily said, no, we're going to go on back over here and go back to the trap, and we're going to sit in here and finish getting this money.
Yeah.
But I wanted to enjoy myself, my fruits of my labor, of me making a nice band for the evening.
Right.
I wanted to go and show it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it almost cost me my life.
Yeah, it did. It's very close. Like, it's amazing all y'all. All of them lived through that. Your homie lived through that, too.
Yeah, me and him got out the same day. Bike rally right after that.
Wow, man. Wow. That's what you call active, for real.
Hey, for real, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just glad to see the man you are today from all that. That's
from
amazing.
That,
so,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, even from me trying to blow my own head off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was a point, like, you know, when you in the streets, you're not going to always be getting the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be taking some L's in the process.
Right.
And I was taking L's in relationship, and I was taking L's with the money and the work, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had reached a low point in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I had a one shot gauge.
Yeah.
One shot. This motherfucker was probably about a foot and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was sawed all the way down.
Mm.
And it was the kind where you got to pop it open.
Oh, yeah.
Pull the shell out, load the shell, close mm-hmm. it back up, and then cock it.
Sawed off.
Man, I had one of those, and I was so stressed out that day. I had just got into an argument with my girl at the time, and my little cousin was always with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck you. Fuck you, cuz. Fuck the world. I'm ready to die. I don't want to live no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I went outside and got in my van, loaded me a shell up.
Mm.
Put that, cocked it, put it to my chin,
mm.
pulled the trigger, and that bitch went off.
It went off?
Yeah. Went off. I'm talking about it was resting on my chin.
Pow. Oh, it went through the other barrel?
No, it didn't even hit me. My cousin was right behind me. I was out of my mind at the time. I'm going straight to kill myself. I ain't thinking about nobody following me.
Mm-hmm.
I get in my van, and I pull that trigger. And the whole street, it's at night, the whole street lit up like a light bulb. It got daylight for probably about 3-4 seconds
mm-hmm.
because I was inside my vehicle.
Right, right.
My cousin was laying on the ground with his arm out like this, breathing hard. He done moved my hand out. I moved the gun from under my chin.
Shit.
I had a hole in the reach in the roof of my van.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's what I want the people to know. When you out here in the world, out here in the streets, you're gonna go through a lot.
Yeah.
You're gonna see a lot. So you have to ask yourself, are you built for it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for what's coming? Because
yeah.
you might see everybody with money from their shoulder to their hand.
Right.
But they're not telling you I'm in court every month.
Right.
Fighting these cases.
Mm-hmm.
These dudes over here just shot my spot up. Because they feel like I'm taking their money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Family members, they losing.
You feel what I'm saying?
Like, God had just lost a brother.
People don't, that's the one thing I don't like about the game now.
Because mm-hmm.
ain't nobody giving no lessons in the game.
Right.
I grew up around God bodies, 5 percenters.
Yeah.
When I got like 13, most of my older cousins, they was all 5 percenters.
Yeah.
And, you know, they was out there.
Right, right.
But they always had a message, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They would always feed me game. I remember the first time hanging with them, they was like, hey, come over here, come get in the cypher. I rap.
Right, right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go over here. It's a group of people. And I'm thinking, you know, when we pull up, I'm thinking they rapping in the cypher. So
right.
I jump out, and I walk over there. I'm finna just jump in and start rapping. And, nah, what's the science? What's today's mathematics? They went that way with it. So now I couldn't even speak on it.
Right, right.
I didn't know none of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to sit there and just listen.
Yeah.
And decipher the whole time. And they talking about you know, destroying and rebuilding.
Right.
You know what I mean? And those are things that, along with the Christianity side,
right.
I put both of them together and apply both of them to the way I live.
Absolutely.
And that's part of what helped me grow into what I mean, I am right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I still go to church, but I still rock with these guys too.
Right, right.
Because these guys showed me a different side of life. They showed me a different way to look at things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's a healthy balance.
It's a healthy balance, bro.
Yeah.
Like, for real. That's why, yeah. you know, I look at, like, you get Farrakhan and them. They read the Bible.
Right.
They want to know. They got to know.
Yep.
In order to be able to relate and make comparisons, you got to know both sides.
Right. Right. And I wanted to go back to something you was talking about, you know, like your hood, 5 points. Mm-hmm. Then also you said that, you know, you was out there thugging. You wasn't a gang member.
Right.
But me outside looking in, like when I'm coming from 252, when I hear 5 point, automatically I thought this must be like just all the blood hood when I'm coming through here. When people say 5 points, I'm just thinking that's what 5 points mean.
Yeah.
This is the blood hood. Is that what that means for the area or nah. like?
It's just 5 points. That's the name of the community.
Okay.
It's a sign when you come across the bridge coming from Greensboro into High Point or coming across 311 Bridge. It's a sign that sits right up there and says 5 points community.
Wow.
It's the point that every single side of High Point can get to.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so, do you think I'm the only one that ever thought that?
No. lot of people think that. You know what I mean? A lot of people think that. But fortunately, in 5 Points, growing up, and then me having the youngins around me, I had all different types of gang members hanging around me.
Yeah.
And calling me OG.
Right. Well, no color tripping.
When I was, they wasn't color tripping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one set might be stronger than the other set, mm-hmm. but they wasn't color tripping on each other because we all from this neighborhood.
Exactly.
This is our neighborhood. We still got to protect it. You still live over her. He still live over her.
Right.
So at some point, y'all going to keep crossing each other's path.
Right.
You got to figure out a way to coexist.
Right. Yeah, that's facts. So that brings me to a segment in my show I want to talk to you about, and it's called Love, Loyalty, or Respect.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some different type of relationships, and you let me know what's the most important in that relationship, love, loyalty, or respect.
Bet.
All right. So, all right. When it comes to your ace, your homie you grew up in out the mud with, your best friend, what's the most important? Love, loyalty, or respect?
Loyalty.
Mm.
We've been loyalty. Like, I got one guy. I call him Day One for a reason. He's been there since, we've been knowing each other since we was 1 year old.
Mm.
The love is always there.
Right.
But we stayed loyal. We kept the loyalty thing the strongest with us.
Right.
Respect. Art was automatic.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you loyal to somebody, you got some respect for them. Right. You also got some love for them. You can love somebody and not even be loyal to them.
That's a fact.
It's crazy, but you can.
That's
people
a fact.
Do it in relationships all the time.
That's a fact.
You know, the man might love his woman, but he might be cheating on her too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he don't respect her at some degree.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't loyal to her at some degree.
Right.
But when you loyal, you're gonna get love
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna get respect.
Mm.
When you respect it, people might not even love you. They might be scared of you.
Right.
Just because they fear you.
Right.
So they respect you.
Yeah.
They don't love you, and they still ain't going to be loyal to you.
That's a fact. I bet. Love, loyalty, or respect. What's the most important when it comes to your old lady, your girl, your wife, whatever?
Well. Loyalty again. I'm a respecter mm-hmm. at the end of the day, but as long as I'm loyal to her and she notice I'm loyal to her, she gonna
I'm talking
know.
About her to you.
Oh, her. Oh,
like, what's most important for how she treats you? Is it love, loyalty, or respect from her?
Respect my mind. Respect me.
Okay.
I don't need no money. I don't need nothing tangible. I don't need you to buy me no gifts. Respect me.
Mm.
Appreciate me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Tell me thank you. Tell me you appreciate that I'm doing it, that I'm the things that I'm doing for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? That lets me know that you love me because you're willing to express the way that you appreciate me.
Right.
So respect. You know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I feel
you
that.
Respecting me like that to a level, you're gonna be loyal to me.
Got you. I get it. All right, last one. Love, loyalty, or respect when it comes to your children.
I love
them. Mm.
I ain't got to respect them.
Mm.
I'm the daddy.
I'm the daddy.
You got to respect me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until you get of age where you deserve the respect level.
Yeah.
Right. When you're a kid, what am I respecting?
Yeah.
I'm expecting you to act like a kid.
Right.
But you're going to have to respect daddy.
Sure.
For real. Like.
That's a fact. Dang. Oh, man. All right, let me. I want to get your opinion on these two, though.
Okay.
And this segment is called Who You Rocking With.
Right.
So you let me know who you rocking with the most. Okay, you see these two things. This is what you're going to go to first. It don't mean you don't like the other, but I'm going to listen to this first, or I'm going to pay attention to this first. All right, so who you rocking with? J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar?
J. Cole.
Why?
I mean, his message is clear.
Mm.
His message clear, and he's fearless.
People don't talk about that.
Dude is fearless. He's not afraid to. He's not afraid of lyrical confrontation.
Right.
He He ain't shying away, and he gonna let you know, I'm gonna kill you on your song. On your song.
And he been on a killing spree. Yeah. So I bet.
Plus he's from here. He's from the Carolinas, man.
For sure.
I'ma always stand up for my Carolina folk.
Yeah, for sure. I who you rocking with? Young Dirk or 21 Savage?
The new Young Dirk.
The new Young Dirk. Got you.
The new Young Dirk. Never really been a fan of 21 Savage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I just can't see him being what he's saying.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people they you know, I just can't see him being what he's saying. But you can look directly into Young Dirk life.
That's true.
You can watch a little bit of his transformation.
Yeah.
Okay, boom. Lil Baby made a song bigger than Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Lil Baby until he made that song.
Yeah, you got a point.
He showed me a different side.
Yeah.
Lil Durk and J. Cole.
Right.
I was cool with Lil Durk. I was a young a King Von fan.
Right, right.
But I was cool with Young Durk. Mm-hmm. But when he did that song, I listened.
That was different, yeah.
It was different. Plus the path that I'm on now in my life.
Yeah. It resonate with you more.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that song right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It made me look at you a whole different way now. You
right,
know what
I mean? Right.
I don't just see you as one of the guys from the shop out here killing.
Right. He might have been, that could have been, okay, he might be OG status a little bit. That's his first step to being OG.
First step.
Doing something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I bet.
Like, I ain't seen 21 Savage make a song like that yet.
I don't think so.
I can't recall one.
Mm-mm. No, I can't recall either. If it's out there, it's out there, but I don't recall it.
Yeah.
I bet. So we're going to go back. Who you rocking with? 106 in Park or Big Tigger in the basement? The
damn basement. Let me tell you something, man. When I dropped my first big mixtape, shout out to Issa because he was the... I was his first artist that he did a mixtape for. He was the first DJ that ever did my mixtapes.
Yo, that's fire. So I was on the show too. That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. So shout out to Sud because I had this project called Birth of a Legend.
Mm.
And we dropped it and Sud had an appearance on Rap City.
Chill.
Yeah. He had an appearance on Rap City. That's why I always respect and love Sud. That man had an appearance on Rap City, and right in front of his turntables, where the world can see, he had my mixtape sitting right there.
He's solid.
He had my mixtape posted up right there in front of his turntable, so when the camera was on him, it was on my mixtape too.
That's fire. I always felt he was a solid dude. He ain't never showed me nothing that wavered from that.
Sud played. He played a hand that's dealt.
Yeah.
He know how to play his cards right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people got mad at him because of the certain moves he made. No, man, Sud is a DJ.
Right.
He shouldn't have to be stuck right here dealing with just your crew. This is
definitely
a DJ.
Not. Right.
This DJ need to be breaking records. He need to be breaking this artist over here in this city, breaking this artist in this city.
For sure.
Doing it for this artist. You know what I mean? Yeah, he know where his home at.
Yeah.
He know that. Because he's quick to come back to the hood, come back to the city.
Often, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I fuck with Sud. That was my first person to ever do a mixtape.
Yeah, salute Sud, man. Salute Sud. And he doing big things out there with 2 Chainz and everything else, man.
Salute, man.
Got his artists and everything out there. All right, who you rocking with? Drink Champs or $1 million worth of game?
Okay, now I got to think back. I got to think back to the certain episodes that really stuck in my head on both of them. Wallow and Gilly, they keep it at 1,000.
Okay,
like even when Gilly be on there, he might be popping off. Wallow will check him right there in front of
he
everybody.
He will check him.
Like, yo, bro, you wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
And then, but on the Drink Champ side. Nor ain't scared to ask you nothing either.
Right. He'll go there.
He gonna go there, you know what I mean? So I can't see a comparison.
Okay.
I can't see a clear comparison that I would say I would like this one over the other one.
Okay.
If I had to choose one, Drink Champs. They have fun.
Yeah, they do.
They be turnt, bro.
Yeah.
And it's those moments on those shows that will keep your attention and keep you watching.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I bet. All right, let's go to the ladies. Who you rocking with? Remy Ma or Nicki Minaj?
I'm still going to say Remy Ma.
Woo. Even though she cheated on Papoose? Let me see.
I mean...
No, I don't know if that's true.
As far as being a lyricist, man, she more gutter.
She is more gutter, but is she more lyrically inclined than Nicki? I don't know. She got bars, though.
Remy was a battle rapper, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know something? I'm going to keep it G. It's just me now, one of them loyal.
Got a point.
I mean, I hate to, you know.
Yeah.
Remy wasn't loyal to Pap in that situation.
Right.
Nicki wasn't loyal to Fendi.
Fendi? I thought you were about to say, what's your boy, Safari?
No, I'm talking about.
Like.
I'm talking about.
Music-wise. Yeah.
That was the one who broke her.
Yeah, that's true.
He should be forever solid.
Yeah, I can dig that.
You know what I mean?
I seen Fendi make a lot of waves.
First time I meet Nicki, she was working at Hood Locker here in Greensboro.
Right down in what were they at? Hood Locker.
On Randleman Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
Fendi. She was working at Hood Locker. I met her. I didn't say, hey, how you doing? My name is da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, that was my first time actually seeing her and knowing her name is Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. And I didn't know she actually worked there, though. I didn't know that.
She was down there. And then one day after that, one day, I was watching a DVD, and then I seen her and Fendi in the DVD together.
Mm.
I was like, oh, okay, so they really are rocking, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, she wasn't even rocking with Fendi no more. I was like, well, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but I fucks with Nicki too, though. Like,
Yeah.
Her voice and the way she rap, her shit, she got that. Her shit be sexy as hell.
Right.
One minute, I want to fuck her voice.
Right. I think she got more versatility than Remy Ma.
She got way more versatility than Nick than Remy. Remy just
her bars is more.
Her bars hit.
Got you.
When she spit, her bars just hit. It'll hit you where it need to hit you at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I dig it. I bet.
But Nicki know how to play with words.
She do. She got all the different cadences. She do.
Yeah, for real.
She turns a whole different person. Roman, whatever she called that person. It's like she got all type of stuff going on. So salute to both of them.
I fuck with both of them though. They're nice, you know.
Yeah. All right. Final one. Who you rocking with? Ebro in the Morning or The Breakfast Club?
I ain't never really watched Ebro in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen The Breakfast Club quite a few times.
Okay.
Charlamagne, I like him because he ain't scared to ask you no question. He gonna ask you whether it offend you or not.
He is.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, with the other two, you know, it was just that dynamic, that trio, you know, it kind of made real good for a good show, you know what
right.
I mean? Because everybody was able to play off of each other.
Right.
It wasn't really too much scripted. Yeah, of course you're gonna always have pre-written questions. That's what any interview, because you want to make sure your interview is gonna be sharp. You know
for
what
sure.
I mean? But at the same time, they also can come from up here with them.
Yeah,
and they can hit you with them, and you be like, oh shit, for real? Okay, yeah, okay. This I ain't know you knew that, but this yeah, let's talk about it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because they gonna do their research. You know what I mean? And that's one thing I liked about The Breakfast Club. They always made sure that they did their research before they interviewed somebody. So they was well prepared. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
You feel me? Shout out to the highest point, man. Y'all quit playing, man.
Yeah, and now since you're talking about research, tell me about this group back in the day called Exclusive Generals.
Mm. All right, so boom. Let's get into that one. All right. Before it was even an Exclusive General, I'm going to take it back to 2000. Z Tweezy, shout out to Z Tweezy, shout out to Gino, shout out to Doughboy. They was throwing parties in High Point at this club called Diamond, and then they changed the name to H2O, but they were still in there throwing parties in there. I had this one single called Come On Ma. Showdown was the DJ.
Word.
Showdown was the first DJ to ever play my music in the club. It was at that club.
Shout out to Showdown.
I wanted to be down with Z Tweezy and Gino back then in 2000 and 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But all they was doing was throwing parties and what they do out here in the world.
Right, right.
They wasn't ready to sit down and form a group or nothing like that or organization.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think in like 2006, I got back around and I reached out. I seen Gino and he was like, hey, you still rapping? I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm one of the dopest people in the city. Like, for real, fuck with me. What you want to do? He was like, shoot, let's get something started. So we start going to the studio on a regular. And once we did that, the dude at the studio, he found out that we got a building. He came and set up our studio over there. And I learned the equipment, learned how to record and stuff like that. I made myself valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So that made Gino like, yo, we need to really push for a name. We ain't have no name. It was just me and him going to the studio and recording.
Right.
But him and Tweezy was still like this, still throwing parties in Greensboro. I had got a job at BG McGee's. Mm-hmm. So now I get to see Tweez every week. I get to see Gino every week.
Right.
And you know, they already knew I was rapping and stuff. So we had a meeting like, yo, we need to put us a whole conglomerate together. You know, give everybody a role. Everybody got a task to do in this company. And we're going to call ourselves the Exclusive Generals.
Mm.
I was like, Exclusive Generals? All right.
Yeah.
Whatever name it did, because at the time it didn't matter what the name was.
Right.
I'm trying to show y'all I can rap.
Right.
I'm trying to put this music out.
Dope.
So we came up with the name Exclusive Generals, and then that name went crazy. I didn't even expect it to go as crazy, but I did because you got Tweezy,
mm-hmm.
the face of the clubs.
Right.
Him and Gino together, they're the face of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only right, you know what I mean?
Perfect formula.
Yeah, perfect formula. So we started getting our custom shirts made every single week. We would party 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
At different clubs that they was throwing parties at and stuff. My music was getting played now on a regular, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Showdown came right back around.
Yep.
And then ended up getting me some music on the radio, on 102. I was like, we having 2 songs on the radio at the time. I was like, wow, that's major. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then in that same instance, we got Eastside along with us.
Mm-hmm.
Every club Eastside was DJing at, I would show up to the club, bro. Me and my homeboy would show up to the club and meet him there. And as he getting out and putting his equipment in the club, we helping him.
Yeah.
We helping him. It's our free admission. We was at all the parties. Every party that DJ Issa was DJing at, we was his equipment guys.
Definitely. Yo, that's straight dope up. That's dope.
Straight up, man. So I mean, Exclusive Generals, yo, if you miss that era, you miss life. Because we did everything. Like, we wasn't as big as BMF, but we was on that type of time. When we showed up to the club, we was on that type of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we had
a strong movement. You feel me? A real strong movement.
Yeah, shout out to all of the fellas those part of Exclusive Generals, man. That was dope. Now, you know, we got a little bit of background about, you know, things you like, the music, the group. So can you tell us a little bit about the radio station that you got going, 44.8 The Pound Radio? You know, what's your inspiration behind that? You know, what's the meaning of this platform and what can people expect from it?
Expect to have your record broken as an artist who can't get to these big mainstream radio stations and mm-hmm. they can't get their music on there. In 2020, I sat with my partner, J Street. Shout out to J Mail. I sat with him. I was like, bro, I want to do a radio station, man, but I only want to play underground artists.
Mm.
I only want underground artists to have the shine, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And before I even got to 448, I had did a live. And I was just doing reviews. People know me.
Right.
I got 5,000 friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm gonna go live and use my influence and see if I can get people to pay attention to these artists. Right. And I was doing it at the barbershop. I did a live and I was like, I'm gonna call it Takeover Tuesdays.
Right.
Every Tuesday, expect me. Da, 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 da. And then a cousin was like, hey, I got all the radio station equipment. We can create a whole radio station. Came out with my cousin AWOL. He came out with 33.6 The Underground.
Yeah.
I was one of the faces on that show. You know what I mean? And all I would do is show straight love to the underground. I had a Takeover Tuesday, and I had a Freestyle Friday where I would get artists to come in and let them freestyle on the radio.
Yeah, that's dope.
And it didn't turn into a battle, but I would have a line of artists. I would have like 7-8 artists in a straight line waiting their turn at the microphone just to get on there and spit every single Friday.
That's hard. So,
and that made me say, you know what? When the 33.6 Underground kind of died down, I didn't want it to.
Right.
But they were more so, we're going to let this one die. I'm not going to let what I'm doing die.
Right, right.
But he wanted to let it go, so I had to come up with my own way. Mm. And that's when, you know, 44.8, the Pound Radio came in 2020. I had it going, but then at the same time, I got the cars that I'm, the detailing, the janitorial business. Then I got the custom apparel business. Mm-hmm. At the time, I felt like I had so much on my plate. When I added the radio station, I couldn't fulfill it by myself.
Right.
So what I did was I fell back. I didn't take it away. I just fell back until I was able to get my resources and my income up so mm-hmm. I can make sure everything is cared for. And then my one of my bros that I always recorded his studio, shout out to Uncle Dirk. Mm-hmm. I would always go over there and record. We had another room in the building.
Right.
I was like, bro, you know what I want to do, man? I want to get my radio station back up, man.
Yeah.
People was paying attention, bro, and they was tuning in and it was growing.
Right.
It's like, so what we need to do? I say, shoot, we just need to pay this, we need to pay that, and we need to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, shoot, man, you got your half? I said, yeah. He said, well, I got the other half.
Mm.
We're going to go ahead and get it done right now.
Right.
And we went immediately and paid.
Dope.
We paid the tab immediately. And from there, you know, we just been straight up playing underground artist music. Every day I break a different artist out there.
Right.
We doing hip hop. We doing R&B. I had a rock star send me their music.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But he called it trap rock.
Trap rock.
I drop it. You know what I mean? I want gospel music, inspirational music on there.
Right, right.
I've been reaching out to everybody that don't have a situation.
Right.
And they looking for a outlet for their music.
Right.
Bring it over here to 44.8, the Pound Radio, because we're going to make sure you get that exposure.
For sure.
And that's what it's all about. I didn't have nobody to put me on the radio except for Showdown.
Yeah.
But then even his hands was tied as far as the taking it further.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know, I said, you know what? 44.8, we're going to only deal with these artists.
Right.
That ain't got no situation that need the exposure.
Right.
We're going to make sure that they get it. We're going to go live. We're going to play their music.
Right.
We're going to give them packages, 90-day packages where their song can get played 3 to 4 times a day for 90 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're paying it.
Yeah.
And that we for small businesses, I tell them, I'll inbox people that I know got small businesses, hey, send me any information you got about your business.
Right.
And I'll go in the room, in the studio, and I'll create a jingle.
Right, right.
I'll give them their own commercial.
Yeah.
I know how to do the commercials. I was on, for 7 years, I was on TV, bro.
Mm.
For 7 years, I was on TV for doing a tattoo commercial.
Dope.
And it aired. That's that right there. Let people know. Yeah, he's serious about his rap
for sure.
But he also serious about a career.
Right.
He also helping this other business get put on just off of his name. The business was in my hood in Five Points.
Right.
A white guy came in and had a tattoo shop, mm-hmm. and him was cool.
Yeah. We've
been knowing each other for a long time. So he reached out and was like, "Hey, can you do a tattoo commercial?" I did it. Guess who appeared in the commercial with me?
Who that?
He said,
"Ah,
you know,
it's
what I'm
crazy
saying?
How your people still come around."
Me, Esud, and Tamika Nicole, we were on TV for 7 years off of a tattoo shop commercial.
Yeah, that's
so. When I did that commercial, it's like it comes real easy for me to make someone a commercial now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
That's my angle.
Let's make sure we know the people know how to tune in to it and also reach out to you with to get music on your platform? How can they do that?
I bet. If you want to get some music played or get it reviewed, you can email me at 448 DAPOUND radio@gmail.com. We do live reviews every couple of days and we'll get your music played. What else you ask?
Is it in social media?
44.8 The Pound Radio on Facebook. You can always check us out there. You can check us out on my personal Facebook page, Patrick Wall. Always keep a link at the top of my pinned at the top of my page where if you got an iPhone or if you, anybody, you can just click on that link and listen to the radio, listen in right there without downloading the app. Or you can go to Google Play and you can download the app on Google Play. Just type in 44.8 The Pound Radio and it'll pop right up. It's a free app to download and you'll be able to hear your favorite artists from around your area.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely y'all make sure y'all tap in. You know, he got multiple type of services. He got the Everything Clean. Can you tell the people what Everything Clean consists of?
And a lot of people, they'll see my van and be like, Everything Clean, what do you do? Or they might say, well, what do you clean? And I'll be like, everything.
Right.
That's why it's called Everything Clean. I don't want to limit myself to just washing cars. The name speaks for itself. I do janitorial. I do pressure washing. I do contract cleaning. I do washing goes for car lots. I do restaurant kitchen cleaning, food truck cleaning. I'll come and shampoo your carpets in your crib or your business. Everything. I'll clean you. If you're too dirty, I'll clean you up. I'll stand you right in front of my pressure washer and run some soap and water on you and get you cleaned up.
Everything clean,
everything
people.
Everything clean, man. The other business I have is Grind First Everything. We do customizing, custom clothes, custom blankets, banners, custom accessories, earrings, socks, everything. Like if it can be customized, we're gonna customize it for you, and you know just to fulfill your needs. My other business is Smoking Bros. We smoke meats. We get out in the community and we service the people with good food, especially when it's hot outside. We'll bring the smoker grills out, and we get the cooking and servicing people. And then we got the 44.8 The Pound Radio. You can always reach out to me either way on any one of those platforms. I always have the opportunity to work, and I'm going to always take the time out to make some money. So please reach out to me. Let's get some money. Let's get some business done. We can do some big things in the community. If you want to help me out on the community side, let's get to it. One hand wash the other one, both hands wash the face is my motto. And we're going to always stick with that motto because it ain't just one person when you're doing something. It might be somebody in the background helping out. You know what I mean? One hand wash the other, both hands wash the face to get the job done.
Yeah, man, for sure. So, yeah, man, that's dope. Y'all heard it here first, man. Patrick Wall, he got multiple businesses. Make sure you tap in. And until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
Peace.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.